What's up, everybody? This is Andrew Erickson here from the Full Press Coverage Fantasy Football Podcast. I am coming at you live here from Ford Field Locker Room, covering the Detroit Lions. And, you know, as we continue our 32 teams in 32 days, this is my next stop. So we're going to be talking some Lions football and talking about the fantasy football aspects of this team here. So we'll get started, dive right in. Starting at the quarterback position, Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford, you know, has been one of the more consistent quarterbacks in fantasy football over the last few years. Consistently finishing in the top 10 year after year, but he's not really that sexy pick. His ADP has him not really anywhere near the top 5, more around that 10 range. So what you can expect from Matthew Stafford is I'm actually really hyped up for Matthew Stafford this season. He's got a full weapon of arsenals coming back. Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, Kenny Galladay, the young receiver, so his second season, and, you know, additions at the running back position as well. So Kerryon Johnson, bringing in LeGarrette Blount. They drafted Frank Ragnow, the center, and we know we've seen a lot of difference, you know, with a center in particular. It's made a lot of significant impact in terms of offensive production. We saw it with the Falcons when they signed Alex Mack. So a good center can really go a long way, especially with the Lions team, that their offensive line has definitely struggled, especially in generating any type of running game. We've seen a lot of running backs go through the Lions. Yavid Best, Mikel LeShore, Joique Bell. So a lot of running backs, and none of them have really ever panned out. And then the latest, Ameer Abdullah, who is a guy who I actually think that the Lions are probably going to end up trading at some point, unless they make him a full-time special teams player in terms of returning kicks, returning punts. But, you know, that's something I picked up, you know, while watching the preseason game, which I can also get into here as well. But first, you know, like what I noticed in the preseason game was Ameer Abdullah was catching a lot of passes. They weren't really using him in the running game, so it seemed more like they were actually kind of forcing him the ball, trying to get him some more action so that they could kind of showcase his skills, his run after the catch ability, because that's what he may more likely be in the NFL. It was just more of a pass catching back, and the Lions already have that in Theo Riddick, so it doesn't really make sense for them to necessarily have two of this position that's very similar. So trying to get some capital back for Ameer Abdullah. But back to Stafford. So actually, one of my bold predictions for the 2018 NFL season is that Stafford will throw for 5,000 yards. My reason being is Stafford has already accomplished this feat one time before. He is one of the few quarterbacks not outside of Drew Brees that has accomplished that feat of that 5,000 yards passing. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and then Dan Marino, I think. I think those are the only couple. I don't know if Peyton Manning's ever done it. Someone's got to fat check me on that. But the reason I say that is because he is, you know, continuing his relationship with Bob Cooter, who they have had a really successful relationship before. So I do expect the offensive production to at least be, you know, just as good as it was last year. And the other thing is, so they're bringing Matt Patricia. I'm a Patriots fan. You know, I'm not going to be a lie about it. So I know a lot about the Patriots defense. I know a lot of the Patricia schemes. And the Patriots defense has always been bend but don't break. Don't give up a lot of points. Give up a lot of yards. They give up a lot of yards in New England. And even though, you know, obviously personnel is a little bit different in Detroit, I do expect them to kind of follow a similar scheme where they do give up, you know, a lot of yards. They do give up a lot of receptions. And what this causes is eventually, you know, if the other team's moving up and down the field, that means the offense is going to have to do the same thing. So I'm not saying that their defense is going to be, you know, totally regress, but in terms of, you know, yardage they're giving up, they could be loose, and I don't think they're going to necessarily be a shutdown defense, especially with the offenses they play, especially in their division. You have the Bears upcoming, you know, an upcoming team. You have Green Bay with the Packers, and then you have Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. So a lot of games that are going to be high scoring. They play in the NFC, a very highly competitive conference, and their division specifically is also super competitive. So I do expect Stafford to throw the ball around the yard, especially with, you know, obviously, they did bring Kerryon Johnson as a guy that hopefully can establish himself as a runner, but he has also established himself as a pass-catching back. He does have those abilities on film to succeed in the passing game, so that's another aspect that could really help Matthew Stafford jump up, and especially his passing yardage. But overall, I think Matthew Stafford is a great pick in any fantasy draft. You're waiting on a quarterback. I think he's solid. I don't think that... And he does. I think he has some top five upside. And you're definitely going to not have to pay a top five price for him. So I really like Stafford at the quarterback position. Running backs, so I alluded to it already, Kerryon Johnson. He looked really good in the first preseason game, had some nice runs, and I think one of them was actually called back from the because of a penalty. But he did look pretty good, and based on the rookie running backs that we're seeing, and basically they're all basically getting hurt, Kerryon Johnson is kind of going right up my my boards there. So I like Kerryon. I think that he definitely has the tools to be a three-down back. My only concern is that he may end up being that in-between the 20s running back because they have LeGarrette Blount. They have Theo Riddick. Theo Riddick is the pass-catching downs back. That's his specialty. And LeGarrette Blount is a short goal line back, which is something the Lions have sucked at. They were the worst at converting 3rd-and-1 and the worst at converting 4th-and-1 a year ago. So that's why they brought in LeGarrette Blount to assume that kind of role to make sure that he's able to help them convert on those short down passings. Same with them, you know, drafting a center with their first-round pick, Frank Ragnow from Arkansas. You know, same mindset. They also drafted a fullback in the 7th round, so you're really establishing that ground and pound. He's unfortunately tore his ACL, so he won't actually, you know, necessarily be blocking for anybody this season, but still the idea behind their draft, you know, what they did in the offseason, getting rid of Eric Ebron, you know, addition by subtraction, in my opinion, and, you know, bringing a guy like Luke Wilson, who, for the most part, I'm not super excited about. I think, you know, we've never really seen Stafford succeed with the tight end, and Ebron has just kind of always been there, so it's just kind of by default he was able to generate targets. Interestingly enough, Ebron had 89 targets last season. Luke Wilson's had 86 targets in 5 years in Seattle. So before you hop on the Luke Wilson bandwagon, I would just, you know, hesitate expectations a little bit. I mean, at this point, he's probably the 5th option. The Lions are going to see the most success when they're running out of, you know, 3 wide receiver sets with Golden Tate in the slot, Kenny Golladay on the outside, along with Marvin Jones. I actually think that Kenny Golladay is a very interesting piece, and it's kind of why I'm fading off Marvin Jones a little bit. I think the way that you kind of can kind of see it is Marvin Jones is the guy that I think is going to represent a little bit of regression. He had a lot of touchdowns last season, a lot of big plays, and he's very talented. You know, he did have that one game where he just totally roasted. I remember every analyst was saying, you can't start him against Xavier Rhodes. He's going to, you know, get shut down, and he proved a lot of analysts wrong that week because he burnt Xavier Rhodes, and I believe that was the Thanksgiving game. So there were, you know, he's definitely talented. He definitely has the talent to be a number one receiver, but I do think that Kenny Golladay will help generate some more targets. Marvin Jones' target shares went down when Kenny Golladay was healthy last season, so I do expect that to kind of, if Kenny Golladay does get more time on the field, which in 3 receiver sets that he should still be on the field. So I think Kenny Golladay is a good buy, you know, especially, you know, later in drafts. If one of these guys has sustained an injury, I think he's definitely going to even get a larger workload, but I think that he will see the field enough where he will have some relevancy in a high passing offense that is really, you know, obviously focusing on passing the ball down the field, which Kenny Golladay has shown that he can definitely be a deep threat as well. Golden Tate is more of that kind of steady guy. You know, he's a more of a guy that you can get, you know, has a higher floor, but not a lot of touchdown upside. So he's a guy that you want to complement with, you know, more high riskier players. Golden Tate is more of, you know, a guy that's really going to do more, you know, catching passes, you know, PPR guy. So I'm not super excited about Tate, but, you know, he represents a solid play on a week-to-week basis for the most part. He has shown a couple of inconsistencies, though, with his numbers themselves, so I wouldn't invest too high in Golden Tate, but I don't have any problem with you taking him, especially because he's going to man the slot and be that main wide receiver in the middle of the field for Matthew Stafford. That being said, Ebron, the departure of him, has actually left open a lot of red zone targets, which I believe may end up going to Kenny Golladay. Golden Tate has never really been a red zone guy. It could be Luke Wilson, but until I see it, I'm going to go with Kenny Golladay as being that red zone, the number one beneficiary of the red zone targets. Eric Ebron was 2nd in the team in red zone targets last season. So there is a gap there for an opportunity for another player to step up. So I do like Kenny Golladay in that essence. So that's exactly what, you know, I'm seeing from the Lions guys for this season. A couple other things as well. Golladay generated the 2nd highest passer rating with Stafford, 104, and 9.9 yards per target. so second most on the team. I did mention how they, you know, struggled at 4th-and-1 and 3rd-and-1. That's why they brought in LeGarrette Blount, who I do expect is probably going to vulture some touchdowns this season. So he's a running back you can get really, really late. And if you need to just throw somebody in there, just, hey, throw him out there. He's probably got, it's like a 50-50 shot of him scoring a touchdown. So you got to like those types of odds, especially if you're, you know, kind of backed up. You know, you go zero RB strategy, LeGarrette Blount can be a guy you target. And then lastly, just this offense as a whole in the beginning of drafts. Stafford is a great player to draft, especially because of his schedule in the first season. So here's his first six games. Jets, 49ers, Patriots, Cowboys, Packers, Dolphins. All favorable passing matchups. Some good run defenses in there, but that's what the Lions do. The Lions can pass the ball well. Where I do think the run game will increase from the additions that they've added at the running back position, along with the, you know, adding in Frank Ragnow at the center position, I do think that the offensive line will improve a little bit, but the main staple of his offense will still go through Matthew Stafford's arm, and that will ultimately kind of drive this team throughout the season and through your fantasy season. So buy these Lions players that I, you know, just talked about. Gonna do another episode here as well within the coming days. A lot of big stuff coming the week. We got some more games on tomorrow night. You know, I'm doing this on a Wednesday. So more games in there. Hopefully we can prevent some more injuries from happening. We don't want more guys getting hurt. It's not good for dynasty players. But for not, you know, we will touch base again. I will have some more teams. Probably not going to record tomorrow. Going to be watching some of the games. But this weekend for Friday, I'll be having more episodes out where we will review a couple more different teams here. But as always, you can follow me on Twitter at AndrewErickson_ and find me at FullPressCoverage.com. Thanks, guys.